Good morning and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary here on AM 1260. We're here every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. and Sundays as well. And don't forget, if you want a friend to listen or you're out of town but don't want to miss the show, you can always log on online to www.progressivetalk1260.com and stream the show for free. Also, don't forget, if you want to listen to any of our previously recorded shows, we've been doing the show for almost 2 years now and have a wonderful array of shows for wonderful health topics related to wellness and natural advice, green building, wonderful books. We have so many great show topics. You can log on to www.myvillagegreen.com and download and listen to any of the archive shows for absolutely free. I am Dr. Kevin Passero, and I am a naturopathic doctor. I am over at the Village Green on Tuesdays, so if you have questions or want to come on in, feel free to give a call or go ahead and schedule an appointment online to come talk to me one-on-one. My wonderful co-host Dana Lake will return next week covering another great show of wide variety of wonderful topics related to health, wellness, and nutrition. So today's show, we have something nice lined up for you. It's going to be an eclectic show, and we're going to be talking about a variety of different herbs. And the thing that is common with all of these herbs is they're all herbs from India. India has given us many wonderful things, won many wonderful culinary delights, but it has also brought us many wonderful things in the world of medicine. Ayurveda, or Ayurvedic medicine, was founded or developed in India, and it is thought to be the oldest form of medicine ever recorded on the face of this planet by humans. And in Ayurveda, they have cultivated and utilized a large variety of wonderful medicinal herbs for the use of that medicine. And today, we have Ryan Malone on the phone from Himalaya Herbal Healthcare Public Relations and Education Office. He's been a part of the natural food and supplement industry for nearly 20 years, and he's been working with Himalaya Herbal Healthcare for a little while now. He was a health food store manager, but now serves as the trainer and educator for Himalaya's North American division. He speaks to store employees and consumers throughout the country on the wonderful herbs of India that make up Himalaya's 27 globally famous formulas. Today, we'll be speaking to him about traditional Indian herbs that have been used as healthcare for thousands of years by countless generations. So, Ryan, thanks for being on the show today.
Good morning, Kevin. Good to be here.
Yeah, and you're going to be sharing with us some of these wonderful Indian herbs that have been traditionally used in Ayurveda for, over 6,000 years. Isn't that correct?
These things go back to the beginning of medicine. You are so right when you say that that some of the herbs we're talking about today were literally some of the herbs used in the first recorded systems of medicine. If you take a look at Ayurvedic textbooks, they go back, medical texts go back to thousands and thousands of years ago. Some of the first written medical textbooks were Ayurvedic textbooks.
Yeah, they had the first one. It's still written in Sanskrit, right? Dated to 2,000 years old.
There's texts that are also written in extinct languages like Hittite that are Ayurvedic textbooks.
It is thought to be the first form of medicine that was ever developed.
It is indeed, and we've got lots of great herbs to talk about. We've got. I don't know how many you want to talk about today, but we could go over points of probably a couple of dozen herbs here if you want.
Okay, well, let's
see how far we can get.
Sure, let's start with a couple herbs that we have a long list. There's a couple of them that certainly relate to each other, and there's a pairing here of a couple different herbs that I think are interesting to talk about. And I think they're interesting to talk about because they relate to helping people's body deal with stress, which is something that in my work I do all the time. So many people come in, they have a variety of potential health concerns. And I think a lot of them, one of the most foundational things that I do in helping people to feel better and to enjoy a better quality of health is I usually start by building them up at the base and creating a foundation onto which we can then create the type of health benefits that they're looking for. And one of the most important things in doing this is supporting this system that your body has to deal with stress, which is the adrenal system. And I think most people in our society are, you know, what I might refer to as being adrenally overtaxed, you know, between the long schedules and maybe not enough exercise and poor nutrition and the stressors of relationship and finances and work and family and all the other dynamics, we don't get a lot of downtime or a lot of rest. And I think that most people suffer on some degree from some bit of adrenal overexertion, and using these herbs can really help people get some of their foundational energy levels back, some of the clarity of thought, some of the calmness that comes. Usually when people get overly adrenal stressed, they may get overly anxious or have difficulty sleeping. And using these herbs can be a wonderful, safe, foundational way to just bring some of that stability back. And
that's absolutely true. The stress really is an underlying problem with so many different conditions and different situations that people get into health-wise. And if you can regulate that stress response, if you can use some of these, not just herbs, but diet also, but if you can use some of these Indian herbs to sort of balance that stress response, support the adrenals, bring those cortisol levels down, that stress hormone cortisol, you can do that with some of these herbs, like, for instance, ashwagandha is a great example of a very old ancient Indian herb that's been in common use for probably more than 2,500 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's incredibly supportive of the adrenal system. We sell it alone in our just as a single herb, but it also makes up a key part of our stress care formula. So, I mean, its main function for us is as a stress-relieving herb. Holy basil is another good example. We can talk about those two herbs.
Sure, yeah. So
great support for the adrenal system.
Yeah, ashwagandha is definitely an interesting one. And there's, you know, forms of these adaptogenic herbs that come from all different regions of the world. The ones from India certainly are ones that I love working with. You know, ashwagandha, do you know what the translation is?
Ashwagandha actually has an interesting translation. It means smell of a horse.
Yep.
Or sweat of a horse.
Yep.
horse smell. And it is. If you know, you open up a bottle or you smell some crushed ashwagandha leaves, it does have a very horsey smell.
Yep.
When we talk about it, sometimes we'll use a little poetic license and call it strength of a horse instead
right.
of sweat of a horse.
Right. Well, I mean, that's sort of the thing, you know. I mean, horses are definitely always thought of as a very strong, powerful, dynamic animal. You know, so I mean, even though we don't really oftentimes associate something good with the smell or the sweat of a horse, when you think about how it's medicinally, you know, that strength of a horse, of a stallion, that type of idea, I think is where the name sort of originated. And that's, you know, I like ashwagandha in the adaptogens because I find it to be very non-stimulating. So some people who have maybe some fatigue issues or are feeling worn down or have been through a really stressful period and are looking to help their bodies recover a little bit may try some of the other herbs like the ginsengs or rhodiolas, which are phenomenal adrenal-based, adrenal-strengthening herbs. But if somebody has a predisposition to anxiety, they can be a little bit overstimulating sometimes, whereas ashwagandha, I find, can be strengthening without having that overstimulating effect. So people who have even a little bit of touch of anxiety or dealing with some anxiety or really prone to it, you know, can do really, really well on this herb. And it seems to be so gentle, but yet so powerful in helping people to recover strength and stamina after having gone through a lot of stress or coming back from fatigue.
Ashwagandha really does exert a real normalizing effect on the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's an adaptogen, which is something that not only increases the body's response to stress and anxiety and fatigue, but it's also something that's a body balancer. It increases the body's ability to adapt to internal or external stresses. So it's
right.
a very normalizing effect. Sometimes when I talk about ashwagandha, people will get confused and sort of back me up to what I've said before, because I'll say at one point, you know, ashwagandha is a great herb if you've, you know, finished the end of your day and you're tired and you need a little something to pick you up. But then, you know, 2 minutes later, I'll say ashwagandha is also a great herb if you're laying in bed at night and have a little insomnia and you can't get to sleep. You can take some ashwagandha. So it sort of confuses people. How can it do both things at once, give you energy or make you relax? But it is a body balancer. It has a very normalizing effect on the body.
Sure. Yeah, that, you know, that word adaptogen comes from helping your body to adapt and adapt to any kind of stress or change. And ashwagandha, you know, as you point out, is one of those adrenal-based herbs that I think is, you know, okay to take multiple times a day, you know, a dose at breakfast, lunch, and even in the evening, versus some of the other adrenal-based herbs that are a little bit more stimulatory. I wouldn't necessarily recommend people take them in the evening because they can interfere with sleep. So let's talk a little bit about holy basil, because most people are familiar with basil in general. You know, they're used to cooking with it. It tastes great on salad. It makes really nice pesto and that kind of stuff. But, you know, holy basil is obviously a totally different ball game. So, you know, why don't you tell us a little bit about holy basil and some of its properties?
Holy basil, first of all, the name's not a misnomer. In India, they do consider it to be a sacred plant. You'll often find it growing in temple gardens, or they'll have a holy basil plant near the front entrance of the home for good spirit within the home and good luck and good fortune. So it is considered a sacred plant. Its name, its Sanskrit name, is Tulsi. Tulsi means the incomparable one. So they consider this to be a very broad spectrum plant. There's been a lot of research, primarily in India, but also some research in Germany and some in China as well, that show, again, like ashwagandha, it's very good adaptogen, very good for the adrenals. It normalizes levels of the stress hormone cortisol in our bodies. But holy basil sort of goes all over the ballpark. It doesn't just do that. It's good for the respiratory system. It supports normal bronchial lung function, very good for supporting normal function of joints. It's an anti-inflammatory, supports the body's natural response to irritation. It's good for the digestive system. It supports healthy liver function. It supports normal blood sugar levels. It's very good for the immune system as well and supports the normal function of white blood cells. So it's not just a good anti-stress herb and a good adaptogen, but it's one of those broad-spectrum plants that's been used all throughout history for a variety of things. And it's one of those plants that they turn to in India, going back generations, as one of their cure-alls.
Mm. And I think what's important to notice, which you mentioned just a minute ago, is, you know, these adaptogens, a lot of people have mental image that if they've been under a lot of stress or if something's going on with their adrenals, they are walking around with really elevated cortisol levels. But there are several phases of the body's release of cortisol, and these adaptogen herbs can help people. Yes, if the cortisol levels are, you know, chronically elevated due to being under a significant amount of stress for an extended period of time, but a lot of times when people get into being adrenally overtaxed, you can actually see through some different modes of evaluation, particularly through the saliva, you can actually oftentimes see cortisol levels coming down a little bit, and these adaptogenic herbs can help the adrenals recover a little bit and get cortisol levels up. When the cortisol levels are down, usually that's the phase of stress when people get to that complete burnout where they're, you know, really exhausted or tired. They feel like the gas tank's empty, which versus when the cortisol levels are high in the initial phases of stress, usually there's more of the anxiety, you know, overactivity, mind racing type stuff. So definitely important to notice. So those are two wonderful herbs and I think a great way to get the show started. When we come back from the break, we're going to be discussing some other really nice adrenal-based herbs. And so when we come back, we were going to pick up this conversation with Ryan. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1260. So don't go anywhere. We will be back in just a minute.
Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that can impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Megafood. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that can impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Zymogen. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that can impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Nordic Naturals. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that can impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Jarrow Formula. Have you visited Village Green Apothecary lately? We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for over 40 years. We still take the time to know our customers and provide the individualized attention you need. Plus, we have over 10,000 products, from vitamins and minerals to a full array of natural beauty care products, homeopathic remedies, and health-related books. Visit us at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda or give us a call at 301-530-0800.
Hey, good morning and welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1260, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am Dr. Kevin Passero and I am your host for this hour. My co-host returned, Dana Lake, will return next week for another great show related to health, wellness, and nutrition. Today we'll be talking about the wonderful herbs of India. And if you're just tuning into the show and want to listen to what we've been discussing, we talked about two really nice herbs in the last segment, ashwagandha and holy basil, and how they relate to as they are adaptogens in helping the body to adapt to stress. You can always log on to www.myvillagegreen.com and download any of our previously archived shows or our previously recorded shows for absolutely free. Also, don't forget, if you are out of the range or know someone who's out of the range of our studio antennas but would like to listen to the show, they can log on to am1260.com or myvillagegreen.com and stream the show for free as it airs on Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. And I believe we air a rerun of the show on Sunday, also from 10 to 11 a.m. So today we have on the phone with us Ryan Malone from, Ryan, from Himalaya Herbal Healthcare, which is a large company based out of India, but now reaches all over the globe, has wonderful formulas from herbs, primarily in India. Other things that I really like about this particular company, they are pretty much a vertically integrated company controlling their products from seed through growing to encapsulation to shelf. Isn't that correct, Ryan?
That is correct. Seed
yep.
to shelf.
Yep. So they house not on one farm, but throughout India. They have over, I believe it's 600 acres of organic farmland.
700
acres.
700, yeah.
Almost had it right, of organic farmland where they cultivate most of the herbs that they use in those formulas. And it's always, always such an advantage to work with a company, particularly when it comes to botanicals, when the company is vertically integrated. Because if it's not, the companies are using or sourcing their herbs from other places. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing, but some companies don't always do the best job deciding where they're going to get the herbs. A lot of these herbs are produced in places. We know there's been regulatory issues with China and a lot of the contaminated products that have come over from there, from the melamine in the milk that was the scare over there, to the problems with the pet food, to the problems with the toothpaste. So, you know, we don't really know the quality control that happens over there is very different than what we're used to in the United States. And herbs that come over even from places in Europe and Eastern Europe and anywhere in the country can really, really create some significant problems. So to have a vertically integrated company that controls their own organic farmland ensures that what you're taking in these herbs is not going to contain anything harmful or any harmful substances or byproducts. It's also going to guarantee that the product in the herb or in the capsule is what you want to be getting. Meaning a lot of companies will source, let's say, a species of an herb like an echinacea, but if the company doesn't know what they're doing or if their raw materials are trying to cut corners, they may get a species of echinacea that doesn't really have much medicinal value, or another species of an herb that doesn't have much medicinal value. So that's within the capsule, but what you're getting is nothing all that special. So ensuring the quality, the purity, the safety of the product is always easier to do when you have a vertically integrated company that controls the process from the planting of the seeds to the encapsulation and packaging of the product. So that is one also very nice thing about Himalaya. So, and you know, the other nice thing is they're really bringing to the market some of these wonderful Indian herbs that, you know, a lot of other companies aren't necessarily working with. In the last segment, we talked about ashwagandha and holy basil, which you do see out there a lot, and a lot of other companies do utilize. But let's talk about some other ones. Now, this is one, Ryan, that I always have trouble pronouncing. The C-H-Y-A...
Oh, yeah, you know what? When I talk around the country, this is the one that nobody can pronounce ever, so don't feel bad, Kevin. It's called Shavanprash. Shavanprash. And it's spelled Shyavanprash. So it's C-H-Y-A-V-A-N-P-R-A-S-H. So it looks like Shyavanprash. It's pronounced Shavanprash. And this is a fascinating, fascinating combination.
Now, does it go by a different name?
It has different pronunciations, Shavanprasha, some people call it that.
Okay.
Really, it's a recipe. It's a combination.
Oh, okay. So it's like a synergistic blend of herbs.
Yeah, it's like a tonic, a blend of things that they would put together. I tell people you couldn't, you know, climb a Shavanprash tree or pick a Shavanprash berry because there's no such thing.
Gotcha.
It's a combination of about 40 different herbs, including...
Oh, wow. So it's a lot of herbs.
It's a lot of things. It's bale tree, and there's some amla, some amalaki in it, and country mallow and black pepper and guduchi and harataki. So it's a bunch of different things that essentially was history's first multivitamin. You know, long before they understood that modern concept, they would blend these plants and fruits together and mix them all up into this thick black paste. It looks like tar. You don't want to spill it on your shirt because it's never coming out. But they would eat it every day because it gave them energy. It made them feel good. So Shavanprash is this combination of fruits and herbs that they use for rejuvenation. It's sort of a cornerstone of traditional Indian medicine. We have it in a capsule form, but we also have it in a thick black paste that you just eat every day. You could.
How's it taste?
Yeah, it tastes pretty good actually. Ours is sweet.
Is it honey? Okay, so it's a little. So is it bitter? Is it sweet? Is it sour? It's probably all of those things.
Well, it's kind of like a figgy taste. It tastes like figs or like maybe a sweet black licorice. It also has some digestive peppers in it, so it sort of makes your tongue tingle when you eat it. It's good stuff. You can put it on your toast. You know, you can put it on a bagel if you want. Although people from India sort of laugh at me when I suggest that. They say, oh, no, you just eat it with your fingers.
Sure.
Eat it with a spoon.
but that's
what they did, you know, thousands of years ago. They'd eat a big spoonful of this for just rejuvenation. You can take a big spoonful and stir it in hot water and make a tea out of it. Have a Shavanprash tea.
So it's a nice, basically, all-around tonic for supporting general health, well-being, and energy levels.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It also has sort of a fountain of youth sort of reputation around it. It's actually named for an old ancient sage in India. His name was Shyavan, which is the first part of the word, Shavanprash.
Hmm.
So Shyavan was this old ancient sage who went out into the woods to meditate, and he was sort of Rip Van Winkle kind of character. He went out to meditate and do his penances and sort of fell into this trance of meditation out in the wood for years and years. And moss grew over him and leaves fell around him and years went by and you couldn't even see him. He was just a big pile of moss with two little glowing eyes glowing out. And a princess walking through the forest came along and saw those little glowing embers in this big pile of moss, and she poked him with a stick and woke him up, and her father, who was the king, was terribly afraid she'd offended this old, ancient, revered sage, so he gave her hand in marriage to him. This is an old man. What's he going to do with this beautiful, beautiful young bride? And so he prays to his gods to give him a secret recipe that will refresh him and turn him young again and rejuvenate him, and they give him this recipe for Shavanprash. And instantly it turns him young, and they live happily ever after.
It's a fun, interesting story.
Yeah, that's the lore behind it, which is kind of fascinating. But
yeah,
it does. It has a great antioxidant effect. An adaptogenic effect, so it is a good anti-aging formula as well.
Yeah, I would say there are definitely a lot of formulas out there these days that combine, you know, high antioxidant. There's a lot of tonic-based formulas out there. You know, I really like the idea of using one that is very much rooted in, you know, a long history of medicine and was put together by the wisdom of people who originally started to identify the medicinal uses of the plants. I mean, right now, a lot of the tonic formulas that you see, they come in liquids, you know, they come in different kinds of formulas. They're usually based off of berries, and it's usually based off of trying to find the highest antioxidant berries and combine them to form this type of tonic. And although conceptually and scientifically it seems to make sense, it doesn't necessarily have that traditional medicinal wisdom behind it that something like this might. And, you know, I can pretty much guarantee that if they're using a lot of these Indian fruits, the amala, you know, Indian goose, there's a lot of different types of berries and fruits. If they're in there, they're going to be very, very high antioxidant properties. And,
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
If you know that
amala.
There's
you
a,
just mentioned amala,
yeah.
Which is also known as amalaki or the Indian gooseberry. That is a remarkable little fruit. It's about the size of a golf ball, but it has the vitamin C content of about 3 oranges. So it's just a very packed source.
Now, don't a lot of people traditionally in India have like a amala like jam kind of thing that they do
Sure. Similar
to the Shavanprash where they spread it on?
Yeah, it's used in the Shavanprash. It's also used
Okay. In
a thing called trifala or trifala.
Okay.
Which means three fruits. Trifala, three fruits.
Okay.
Trifala.
So we're going to get to trifala. So,
okay.
You know, I think I was at a lecture by Deepak Chopra once, and he's a big proponent of using the Shavanprash and amala spreads on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. I remember him suggesting that. So, and then I remember also talking about the trifala, which is the amala, right? And what else is it?
Two other fruits. There's another fruit called harataki and another fruit called vibataki.
Okay.
So amalaki, harataki, vibataki are the three fruits in that one.
Interesting. Now, this one is really specific for the digestive system, correct?
It is. It's not just a digestive system product. It's also the Indian grandmother's cure-all for the kids, you know, the same way in our culture, grandmothers and great-grandmothers would give the kids a teaspoon of cod liver oil or castor oil or something like that for anything that ailed them. Indian grandmothers would do that with trifala, with trifala. There's a saying in India, if you don't have a mother, don't worry. You have three mothers with trifala, and they'll take care of you. So it's very good for digestion.
Yeah, I've used it in people, you know, helping to tonify the digestive tract to help to regulate the bowels. It seems to help with a little bit of, you know, detoxification. People with some skin issues, you know,
yep.
I think a lot of skin issues do develop from the GI system. So, you know, I mean, a naturopathic foundation is, you know, you start with the gut always when it comes to dealing with health. So, I mean, this is, I've really used this formula successfully with people with GI issues or other even skin related issues that I think are related to the GI. So,
yeah, it's a great purification herb. One of the fruits in trifala and trifala is called harataki, and its name in Sanskrit translates to carries away.
Hmm.
As in carries away all that stuff you need to clean out of your system.
Now, this one do you guys have in capsules, tablets, or powder?
This one we have in a caplet form.
Okay.
All of our pure herbs are actually a tablet, but they're oval shaped, so it's a caplet. And we bind them together, actually, with components of the plant itself.
Hmm.
So we don't
That's
use great. Any artificial fillers or binders. We just have a nice... a natural delivery.
Wow, that's great. I mean, I know that I've tried the trifala as the powder, and the palatability is tough on that one. So,
yeah.
You know, unless you're a real hardcore,
unless
you've been raised on it, it's probably not going to work to switch over to that. So the caplet is great. So, all right, well, we need to take another quick break. You know, when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Ryan Malone from Himalaya Herbal Healthcare about some of these wonderful Indian herbs that have been used in Ayurvedic medicine for over 6,000 years. This is The Essentials of Healthy Living. I'm Dr. Kevin Passero, your host for today. Tune in. We will be right back after this break.
Have you visited Village Green Apothecary lately? We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for over 40 years. We still take the time to know our customers and provide the individualized attention you need. Plus, we have over 10,000 products, from vitamins and minerals to a full array of natural beauty care products, homeopathic remedies, and health-related books. Visit us at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, or give us a call at 301-530-0800. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain drug or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that can impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Himalaya Herbal Healthcare. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain drug or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that can impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Twin Lab. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain drug or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that could impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Enzymatic Therapy. Have you visited Village Green Apothecary lately? We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for over 40 years. We still take the time to know our customers and provide the individualized attention you need. Plus, we have over 10,000 products, from vitamins and minerals to a full array of natural beauty care products, homeopathic remedies, and health-related books. Visit us at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, or give us a call at 301-530-0800.
Hey now, and welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1260. We're here every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. and we rerun on Sunday from 10 to 11, always covering a wide variety of topics related to health, wellness, and nutrition. I am Dr. Kevin Passero, a naturopathic doctor. I am over at the Village Green Apothecary on Tuesdays over here in Bethesda, Maryland on West Cedar Lane. So if you have any questions, feel free to stop in or give a call or schedule a consult online through the website www.myvillagegreen.com, where you can meet with me one-on-one and discuss any potential health challenges that you are currently having. Just a quick mention, this show is brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary, which has been a leader in the health and wellness industry here in Bethesda for the last 40 years. It was founded 40 years ago by two pharmacists who had a vision to expand options for people outside of pharmaceuticals. So they started researching and looking into and learning about natural medicine. Well, that has grown into a large pharmacy that offers many different services. We have over 10,000 different health supplement-based and nutritional-based products. This is everything from face creams to these herbs like we're talking about. We distribute Himalaya healthcare herbs, as we're discussing today, as well as many, many other brands and companies. One of the most comprehensive selections you'll find. We have a regular pharmacy. If you need a prescription filled, you can come talk to some of our many wonderful pharmacists, all very knowledgeable and very experienced, and we do take all major insurances. And then we also have a compounding pharmacy for people who need custom formulations done, whether that be custom hormone formulations like bioidentical hormones called in by your physician, or a custom nutritional program like a custom multivitamin or other custom nutritional formulas to meet your specific nutritional needs. So we have wonderful compounding pharmacists. I mean, the resources of people that we have there are fantastic. We have wonderful health counselors who are always available to speak with you on the floor for absolutely free. We have an herbalist, we have nutritionists, myself, a naturopathic doctor, pharmacist, compounding pharmacist. The wealth of knowledge there is really quite impressive. So if you have questions about health and wellness and you need to stop in there or don't know where to go, it certainly is a great, great place to start. So keep that in mind. It's located right over on West Cedar Lane, right here in the heart of Bethesda, Maryland. So again, I'd like to pick back up our conversation. As again, I said, we have Ryan Malone on the phone, and he's from Himalaya Herbal Healthcare, which is a wonderful company bringing us all sorts of fantastic formulations from India and primarily using Indian herbs. Today, we've been talking about some of these different Indian herbs, and we've mentioned a lot of really, really great ones and talked a lot about the folklore and the medicinal uses and how it relates to supporting optimal health and wellness. If you're just tuning into the show and you want to catch the whole show in its entirety, feel free to log on to the Village Green website, which is myvillagegreen.com. Of course, that's www.myvillagegreen.com, and click on the archive shows and you can listen to any of the previous shows we've done in the last couple of years for absolutely free. So without further ado, I'd like to get back to our wonderful topic today. And back to Ryan. So, Ryan, we still have a lot of herbs on this list that you sent me of some of the great Indian herbs. And there's one on here that I love talking about, and that's Boswellia.
Oh, that's a great herb.
Yeah. So, you know, why don't you give us a little introduction to Boswellia, and then maybe I'll share with the listener some of my experiences with it.
When I worked in health food stores back 100 years ago, people would come in all the time and give us a question like, what do you have that's like a good herbal aspirin or a good herbal Tylenol, like questions like that. We'd always tell them about Boswellia serrata, which is an Indian plant and a great anti-inflammatory too. Normally you'll see this in the joint section of health food stores. It's very good for supporting normal circulation. It's very good for the musculoskeletal system and connective tissues and supportive in cases of morning stiffness and pain, but it also has an immediate analgesic effect. So people who are taking supplements for their joint issues, you know, if they're taking an anti-inflammatory, often that takes a little while to work and build up in their system and give them some relief, whereas this herb is sort of analgesic and pain-relieving right off the bat. It's a cousin to Google, which is another herb that's very good for...
You're not talking about the mega million search engine, are you?
I'm sorry?
Google?
Oh, that one. No, you know, it's funny that you say that because actually the pronunciation is Gagool.
Right.
Gagool is the Indian pronunciation, but we're so internet-based here in America that everybody just pronounces it Google.
It's
so,
G-U-G...
So I've gotten into the habit of using the Americanized pronunciation.
It's G-U-G-G-E-L, right?
Right.
For Google?
G-U-G-U-L.
And it's almost like you utilize almost like the resin of the plant, correct?
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It's the resin of the Mughal myrrh tree, so it's a sticky gum resin.
Right, of the actual, of the myrrh tree.
Yep.
And that's used a lot with cholesterol issues, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it helps to bind, that resin binds up some of the cholesterol in your GI system and helps carry it out.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And again, like the holy basil we discussed earlier, that's another Gagool is another broad-spectrum plant where generally you'll see it in a cholesterol section in a store.
Sure.
But it's also good for immune functions and supporting lipid levels and function of joints and connective tissues. So again, a lot of Indian herbs, a lot of Ayurvedic herbs are... they put them into a category called rasayana, which to them means just a whole body tonic. So while we sort of pigeonhole them here in our mainstream American consumer culture into one category, to them they're just these broad spectrum wonderful plants that are used for everything.
Sure, mm-hmm. And there are definitely some that, and one that I definitely want to cover today that seem very much conducive to something that seems very beneficial to take on a regular basis, on a daily basis. But I want to get back to the Boswellia real quick because this is an herb that I have enjoyed working with so much. I mean, you mentioned some of its anti-inflammatory effects, and it can really have wonderful anti-inflammatory effects for a lot of chronic complaints that people have, joint pain, musculoskeletal pain. It can really have a lot of benefit with that. Where I've seen it really, really shine and where I've had a lot of wonderful success with it and really been able to help people is actually with inflammation specific to the respiratory pathway. So I've been, I learned about this when I was actually at a seminar learning from an Ayurvedic doctor. And, you know, he talked about using Boswellia for asthma and asthma-related conditions and its ability to help decrease some of the inflammation in the specifically in the respiratory pathway, more so than other anti-inflammatory herbs, because there are a whole host of wonderful anti-inflammatory herbs, some of which we're going to continue. We already covered holy basil, which has some anti-inflammatory effects, and we're going to talk about turmeric in a minute. And some of its effects, which is also an anti-inflammatory, but Boswellia seems to have this specific clinical, action on the respiratory system. So it's a wonderful thing to consider for people. You know, it's certainly be careful. Asthma situations can be very dangerous if they're not managed. So don't do anything without speaking with your doctor first. You know, but Boswellia can be a wonderful way to start reducing some of that inflammation in the respiratory tree. And with the allergy season coming and ragweed blooming full force here on the East Coast, it's definitely something that people may want to consider.
One of the things I also wanted to bring up just briefly, because we're talking about Indian herbs, is the fact that not only is this herb used for that in India, a lot of studies have been done all over the world on these herbs. There are studies on Boswellia coming out of Israel, for instance,
yep.
and out of China right now. And there are studies that are being done here locally in the U.S.
You know,
University of Texas in Houston is doing studies on some of these herbs. So it's just a broad range. They're not just Indian herbs. They're used by all cultures. Boswellia, for instance, is used commonly in traditional Chinese medicine as well. A lot of these herbs sort of migrated up and down and back and forth between the two countries.
Yes, all these herbs have international passports and are used all around the world by all sorts of cultures and are being studied by everybody, you know, most, you know, pretty much all countries for a lot of their medicinal effects. So, I mean, let's talk about one of the herbs that probably has the most, you know, most international use and most recognition, and that's turmeric. You know, it's definitely one of the most popular herbs that's out there, and it's one that many people have heard of because of its use in the culinary field as well.
It's an ingredient in curry, so if you were to smell it or open up a bottle, you know, you'd recognize the bright yellow color of it. You'd notice the scent right away. It's something that is, in culinary use, has been used to, like, color mustards, for example. Very yellow plant. This one, I think, Kevin, is one of the ones that's going to become a household name. I mean, already so many people are familiar with it, but I think back to like 20 years ago when nobody knew what ginkgo was, and now, because so much has been written about it and studied, now it's on every, you know, medicine cabinet, every counter in America, particularly among our senior citizens. And I think within the next 5 years or so, turmeric is going to be poised to do that as well. It's just one of these herbs. I mean, you can Google, search engine Google, the research that's being done right here in the West on this herb, and, you know, you'll get something like 500 studies are being done right on this herb right now.
Yeah, I don't know if there's
a component, which is curcuminoids, or in particular curcumin. They're doing lots of research on curcumin and turmeric right now.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any other herb that's been more well-studied than turmeric. I mean, as far as having scientific backing from, you know, the Western model of double-blind, placebo-controlled research-type clinical trials, you know, turmeric is probably one of the most well-studied herbs. It has a lot of the research that was originally done on it was all related to cancer research. So it seems to have some particular effects on the ability of cancer cells to replicate and the ability of cancer cells to actually die, which is something that cancer cells don't like to do. So there's a lot of really interesting research on it in that regard. There's also, I would say, the newest research that's been coming out with turmeric has been more related to Alzheimer's and how it affects some of the changes in the brain that happen with that disease, and with some of those age-related declines. So there's a lot of really exciting research with it. There's also, you know, some of the research that I've seen that I think is the most exciting has to do with turmeric's ability to actually alter the way our body expresses its genetic code. You know, we look at antioxidants like vitamin E and vitamin C, and these antioxidants work by donating groups to help quench the free radicals. You know, particularly, you know, help these oxygen species not become so reactive. So when vitamin C or vitamin E has donated all of its donor groups, it is no longer able to be used as an antioxidant. Versus turmeric, what we're finding is it actually upregulates the expression of the genes in your body that code for your body's own production of antioxidants like glutathione. So if you're upregulating your own genetic activity for antioxidants, you never run out. So, you know, there was a lot of thought about turmeric itself being a powerful antioxidant, which it is. the actual components, these curcuminoids that you speak of. But some of the most potent and powerful antioxidant effects that we're finding actually have to do with its ability to help the body alter its genetic expression, which is really, really very interesting. And I think represents a very powerful medicinal property of this herb. And I think as we look at that mechanism further, we're going to find a lot of other herbs and plants that do it as well. So I think a very interesting aspect of research. So we're going to have to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to pick a couple other herbs to just highlight real quick before we sign off for the day. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. Don't go anywhere. We will be back in just a minute.
Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that could impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Megafood. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that could impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Zymogen. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that could impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Nordic Naturals. Wait, don't buy inferior overpriced vitamins at a chain, drug, or grocery store. You can save 25% on featured quality products at Village Green Apothecary. Visit us in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or online at myvillagegreen.com. And speaking of your health, are you missing vital news that could impact your health? Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero for Essentials of Healthy Living every Sunday at 10 a.m. here on AM 1260. You can also listen to past broadcasts when you visit myvillagegreen.com. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Village Green Apothecary and Jarrow Formula.
Hey now, and welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. We're here every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. on here on AM 1260, and we rerun our shows on Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. as well. Today we have been talking with Ryan Malone from Himalaya Healthcare about all of the wonderful herbs brought to us from India. And we've discussed so many great herbs. We've talked about Boswellia, Ashwagandha, Holy Basil, Turmeric, Shravanprash. Did I say that right?
Pretty close. Shravanprash.
Shravanprash.
There you go. Put the accent on the Shravanprash.
Never going to get that right. We talked about Trefala. We've talked about so many great herbs. If you're just tuning into the show and want to learn about some of these herbs and how they may be helpful for you, feel free to download this show for free from the Village Green Archives. If you just go to www.myvillagegreen.com, you can click on the archive shows and download actually any of our previous archive shows for absolutely free. So in our last segment, we don't have too much longer, but we wanted to touch on a couple other great herbs. And one of them, Ryan, that you and I decided we wanted to discuss was bacopa. So what is bacopa and why might people be interested in it?
Bacopa monniera is pretty much Indian ginkgo. This is a herb they call a Brahmi herb, which is good for the mind and brain function and learning ability and attention span and memory and things like that. But they also consider it in traditional Indian medicine as an herb that brings about good consciousness and good spirit to the mind. It has a very soothing effect and calming effect on the mind. So bacopa is something that is very good for supporting normal cognitive and perceptual functions. But beyond that, and just being a good memory herb and a brain-boosting herb, it is also very good for supporting normal anxiety levels and frustration tolerance, which makes it a really interesting herb when used by kids who have attention deficit issues. You can see when you give people Bacopa, you know, through brain spectrometry, you can see that regional cerebral blood flow increases. And in behavioral tests that have been done with children with classroom conduct issues, there was a study that was done in Neurosciences Today back in, I think, 2002, that measured some behavioral test scores when Bacopa was used. And you can see that hyperactivity goes down and concentration and alertness and improve and frustration tolerance improves. Visual motor coordination goes up as well. But beyond that actual effect, it also tends to have a calming effect on.
Well, those are certainly
kids.
Those are certainly a lot of effects that many, many people would want for their children, considering the rate of ADD and the, you know, rate of recommendation for medication for kids these days. So let me ask you a quick question. I know that you know a lot of people have some concerns when using ginkgo in regards to its potential blood thinning properties and combining it with other blood thinners or other, you know, herbs that are potentially you know, decrease platelet activity. Does Bacopa similar, or does it not seem to have that same property?
And in fact, out of the herbs we talked about today, the only one that I know of out of ours that would have, the ones we discussed today, would have blood-thinning properties would be the Boswellia that we talked about.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, good. Well, that's good to know. So, I mean, I love Bacopa. I really, you know, definitely include it in all the formulas that I use for helping improve cognition and memory and mental alertness and focus. So it's definitely a great one to talk about. So let's talk about the sugar destroyer. This is a really interesting herb used a lot, you know, these days because people are looking for options with their, you know, insulin resistance and elevated blood sugar levels. So what is the sugar destroyer herb?
The sugar destroyer herb in India is called Gymnema, Gymnema sylvestra. And this is an amazing herb. You can actually try it out and see how it has a sugar-blocking, sugar-destroying ability firsthand. You could take a Gymnema leaf, or you could take a Gymnema a tablet and chew it up in your mouth and swish it around with a little water in your mouth and then spit it out and then eat something sweet. Eat a piece of chocolate or eat a muffin or a donut or something. You won't taste the sugar anymore. You'll taste the fat and you'll taste the salt, but you don't taste sugar anymore. It
blocks
it, sugar.
It is quite amazing, and I've used these in a liquid preparation as a tincture form for people if they're having a sugar craving, you know, and they're going to eat something, you know, and they're trying to lose weight or improve their diet or cut sugar out. You have them put a little bit on their tongue first. They take a bite. There's no sweetness. It takes all the fun out of it. But
it tastes so awful they don't want to touch the dessert cart when it comes around.
But for people who are looking to really achieve a goal and need to be a little bit more hard line with themselves, it really is an effective strategy.
Gymnemic acid molecules mimic glucose molecules, so they sort of numb the receptor sites on your tongue. They bind to the receptor sites and don't allow you that taste of sugar anymore. So it's pretty amazing effect. Beyond that, Gymnema is just very good for supporting the pancreas. It's very good even to support normal appetite level itself. I lost a ton of weight in the past couple of years. I lost about 100 pounds.
Wow.
And I used Gymnema to not just keep me from cheating on the diet, like you said, swishing it around in my mouth, but it actually sort of internally numbs the neural response to sweet taste cravings, too. So it's a good appetite suppressant if you've got a sweet tooth.
That's great, Ryan. Thank you so much. We've been a great show. We've had lots of great information about all these Indian herbs. Thanks so much for being on the show, Ryan.
Thanks, Kevin. My pleasure.
All right. This has been Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary here on AM 1260. Don't forget to tune in next week, next Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m., and I will see you guys soon.